Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go.
Let's go. Happy 2024. We are here for another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the Pulp. Man, we got it in a little early, we're here, so we're happy to kick off another year with the fellas. We took some time off, and we're back. So, without further ado, we're going to do what we do, go around the horn, check in, we'll get a little energetic situation happening because we're just back 2024, so it's all good. Checking in, Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh man, I can't complain. Well, I guess I can. My team sucks, but you know I'm doing all right overall. Chilling, working.
There it is, making that big money, JQ. That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah, no.
No, Joe Burrow will be back this year. Don't worry.
You better receive that blessing, JQ. Put that positivity in. Big money. You got to accept that. You got to accept it, man.
Yeah,
Come on, man. You got to accept
not
it,
not so much
man.
The jobs I'm working this week ain't big money. It's just, you know, put a little money on the side. That's all it is.
Well, big money, man. You got to accept it, man. That's what you
got to do. I'm not getting that Delta payout on Valentine's Day. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing like that. So.
You want to be happy Valentine's for Rob.
I forget.
It's over for me.
Oh man.
Asparagus Rob, what's going on, man? How you feeling, man?
Yeah, man. Yeah, feeling good, man. You're right. I had some asparagus today, a little jerk chicken, stir fry. Feeling good, man. Let's make it do what it do.
And it probably just, Lord have mercy.
Is that your first serving of asparagus this year?
Let's see. Yesterday was the first day of the year, right? No, I had some yesterday too, so no, not the first.
Second serving, so I got to make a note of that.
Well, you stupid.
I'm keeping track this year.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're going to have a little asparagus tracker for Rob, man. So we'll see how that is, man. So I love
Just go ahead and write down 365 and go from there because we're going to eat some every day.
Right. Oh, you didn't have asparagus today. Oh.
I might ask him one or two days a year, maybe three.
Well, he doubles up a day after that, so it's going to always end up at 365 is the floor.
This guy, a little betting man over here. Gary,
the big goal was 400 servings.
I take that.
We're going to do an over-under for Rob's asparagus consumption, so that's how we do, man. So,
there we go.
What's the betting line?
So I'm going to take the over for that.
The bet line is 367. It starts the over-under. I'm going to go over.
Or 367. I'm going over on that.
Man. Oh, goodness gracious. This is what we do, man. Oh, man. Well, Gary,
we already had two for the year.
Yep.
Hey, doing well. Just glad to be back with you guys and hope this show goes smoother than our last.
I know, that's right.
Yeah. Man.
We ended 2023 with a thud.
Yeah, that was bad. Man. Not our fault, America, but that was bad.
No.
That was as bad as this Orange Bowl is bad, dude.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
True. true. We were thinking that Blog Talk was doing some maintenance. They were like, hey, no one's going to have a show on that night. And that was just a disaster.
Yep.
So I'm surprised we made it through. So I'm going to actually, I don't know if I need to go back and listen to the show or what, because that was so bad. But anyway, it's all good. It's over.
Don't
we're moving forward. And it's here. Yeah, shout out to Gary. Gary jumped on about 15 minutes early. I was like, what? And then he abruptly jumped off because apparently he saw my face. Like, yeah, enough is enough, man. I don't think he was ready for all that.
Damn.
Shit, man. So anyway, again, tough. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Get this party started.
Gary comes from the town coffee school.
That's true. That's true. JQ, you jumped off. I wouldn't be to jump back in. But really quickly, let's have the numbers as we get this party started. The same number, it's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/talkingsportswithtwelfthman, you will find us in that arena where we post our blog talk topics. We post anything, draft. I know Rob had posted his last post was regarding the 2024 draft prospects and the top 60 prospects right before going into 2024 for the NFL draft, which I've been watching that very, very carefully too. So anyway, let's get this party started. Without further ado, shout out to the Rams over there, Gary. Sean McVay did imply that he's going to return to coach the Rams next season. I was looking up some stats, which is pretty interesting. He's actually tied for second with Chuck Knox. With his record, which is 69-48-1 in regular season wins, which is pretty impressive. John Robinson is number one, by the way, with 75 wins, 68 losses. They're second place in the division, NFC West, 9-7. They clinched a playoff berth. So, again, if you look at the Rams, I know we had an interesting storylines winning the season, and I would say they've kind of surpassed expectations in that situation for sure, man. So Gary, the floor is yours, and Sean McVay is getting rewarded for that. I mean, his contract is still obviously 2026, but he is actually staying, if you will.
Well, has he officially said he's staying? Because unofficially
he did.
Okay.
He did.
Maybe that's why he was talking on his podcast or whatever it is that he is. He was going to continue the Coach McVay show. So
he made a promise.
Good
he
for
made
him.
A promise coming back.
None of us thought that the Rams were going to do anything. We all thought the Rams. We all thought the Rams were going to take last place in the division, or right above maybe Arizona, but
Arizona
nowhere near sniffing any kind of a playoff spot. So some of the credit definitely has to go with to the head coach and his staff, and good for them because they've been in, you know, purgatory ever since they gave up all these draft picks and things for free agents and on all that. So congratulations to him for making the playoffs, and hopefully they're not playing the Cowboys in the first round.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, you're right, because I don't think the Rams are going to be a team that teams want to see in the playoffs, to be honest with you. I think they got like the fifth youngest roster in the league. And when you really look at it, as you mentioned already, Gary, nobody thought that it would be where they are this year. This is probably Sean McVay's one of his better coaching jobs that he's done this year. Him and Raheem Morris. I mean, you trade Ramsey to the Dolphins on the defensive side of the football. You got a fifth-round running back, Kyren Williams. That you're running the rock. Speaking of Kyren Williams, he and Jaden Daniels is on the Arizona State team together, man. What is happening at Arizona State, man? That Jaden Daniels and Kyren Williams leave the building, man.
Marvin Lewis.
You
play to
win the game. Hello?
Marvin Lewis. I can answer that question. Marvin Lewis and Herm.
But anyway, get back to the Rams. But just had to bring that up. Yeah, Jaden Daniels and Kyren Williams in the building, man. Come on. But, yeah, when you look at it, they got the fifth youngest roster in the league, and, you know, we thought this was going to be a rebuilding year. They get Kyren Williams, they get Puka Nacua, two rookies that's coming in and had a huge impact on this team. Their offensive line is playing outstanding. which had been one of their weakest areas, even when they were winning, going toward the Super Bowl, right? And so a tremendous coaching job by Sean McVay. And, I mean, he's still the youngest head coach in the league, if I'm not mistaken, too. So why would he think about retiring?
38 years old.
Yeah, I can understand if you want to take a little break. But a phenomenal job, and I think they're one of the hottest teams in the NFC. They had a chance to beat the 49ers this weekend. I'm sure the 49ers, they already announced they're going to be resting McCaffrey. I'm sure they're going to be resting some other players as well. So they have an opportunity to finish this season 10-7 and get in that sixth spot. And, you know, the Lions, of course, have had a heck of a season, but it's not given that the Rams – that the Lions can beat the Rams in a 3-6 matchup, right? I think the Rams will have just as good a chance of going up to Detroit and winning that game. Stafford looks like a young Stafford all of a sudden when he's looking injury-prone. And like I said, he's got two heck of a receivers, a Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell in the slot. And defensively, even though they're trading Ramsey, they're playing competitive football. And Aaron Donald is still unblockable when I watched him 2 weeks ago. Still unblockable at this stage in his career. So this is a team you don't want to see in the playoffs.
No, they're dangerous. And if you're McVay, you look at that, you see, and, yeah, you took the points I was going to make with Kyron Williams. You know, one of the leagues I have outside of Yahoo, you know, I picked him up early, and he helped me win a tire. Three touchdowns last week. He's just been a monster. And the Cowboys, just like you said, just been ridiculous. And, you know, you forget about Tyler Higbee, a tight end, who's very serviceable for them as well. So you put that with Kupp, he's looking like, man, where am I going? You know what I mean? Like, I got these two dudes on a rookie deal. Matthew Stafford stayed healthy, playing unbelievable quarterback right now. And you said that defense is an elite, but when that offense is that good, they put pressure on other offenses to try to keep up with them in terms of scoring points. You know, they're a sneaky, dangerous team. I mean, they really are. And if Seattle gets in as well, you're looking at that damn NFC West, you know, getting three teams into the playoffs and out there. And I did not see that coming. At all this year. So, you know, kudos to the NFC West for being one of the most competitive divisions this year outside of, you know, the AFC North getting three probably in as well. So, yeah, he's not going nowhere, man. He's got a good young team, probably re-energizing, you know, and he probably felt like, oh, my goodness, I got my title. We gave up all these picks, but then they hit on those picks that they still had, and he's like, shit, what am I talking about? I still live in L.A. I still got Mayor Rainey. Where am I going? So, yeah, I'm not shocked at that.
Well, probably they're probably the surprise team for all of us of the year, with where we put them and where they're at and what we think they can do, making some noise in the playoffs. That would be my pick for surprise team of the year.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah,
all good. I was looking at the thing because congrats, JQ. I know you beat me last week. I was looking to see if you had Kurt Williams on the squad. You didn't have it in that one. So, but you know, very good game. But
I had
all
the 49ers.
You know, yeah, you did. And you know, the one time I didn't play Tyler Algier, he breaks off a touchdown, which was unbelievable. We'll talk about that later as well. But good stuff from that perspective too. And just to let you know, Gary, I was looking at the press conference and it was talking about, you know, he had thought about retiring because he wanted, you know, he had stuff with the family and whatnot. But whenever you start winning, you know, hey, that definitely changes a lot of things. I'm sure if they were losing and, you know, everything was weighing heavily, he probably would have thought about really taking a retirement. But the way that the Rams made that quick turnaround, that has probably re-energized, you know, McVay as well. Let's move on to the second topic. We're talking about the Dalvin Cook getting released by the Jets. And looking at this story, just kind of a miss if you're Joe Douglas, the GM for the Jets, man. And, you know, we can keep beating up on them. But if you look at the Jets, you were thinking about they were needed a kind of insurance for Breece Hall. And they're like, hey, he's recovering from his ACL injury. And he has recovered a lot quicker than expected. And they just kind of just were like, hey, let's ride him. And then Dalvin Cook, you know, he readjusted his contract and all this stuff. And, you know, he was making all these bold predictions how they were going to do some noise. And Aaron Rodgers even wanted him. And then just kind of unceremoniously kind of get released. And you want to give some Jets some credit because they released this week and jump on a playoff roster. And some teams that are that or looking at some top spots, including the Ravens, the Cowboys, joining his brother with the Bills, Browns, and the 49ers. So there are some opportunities if you want to kind of look at where he wants to go too. But you talk about what an interesting situation what happened to Dalvin Cook for sure, man. So that's crazy.
He ain't going nowhere and play. I mean, maybe the Cowboys, because, I mean, I don't think Tony Pollard is throwing a ton of confidence. That damn goal line carry where he didn't get in against Miami is just inexcusable. But you look at that, he's going to go to all these teams and just be a third, you know, standing third back in the depth chart. So I guess he gets to play a couple more weeks, but he's not even going nowhere and step into a role where he's going to get, you know, 15 carries or 20-plus touches in the game. You know, I think everybody's cool, unless Mostert is really hurting Miami. And like you said, maybe Dallas, because, you know, I'm not really sold on Pollard and his backup, Widow or whatever his name is. But I just can't see him going anywhere and stepping into a large role. I can just see him being in the same role he is in New York. He just gets to play for a couple more weeks.
Well, JQ, I think you said it. I think the one team that he could possibly have an impact is the Dallas Cowboys. So you can free Pollard up to, you know, do what he does best, getting the ball in space in the screen game or out on the perimeter and things of that nature, and maybe give Cook some carries to free Pollard up to do those type of things in their offense, right? So to me, that's the one team that I think he could probably go and have the biggest possible impact. The rest of the teams just like to have a lot of running backs on their teams, right? Baltimore like to have a lot of running backs. Miami like to have a lot of running backs. 49ers, Kyle Shanahan like to have a lot of running backs. So you're right. He'll just be a second, third, or fourth back just to give them some depth just because they like having a lot of running backs on their roster. Outside of Dallas, I think the other team that possibly will be Cleveland, right? You know, they're still doing the running back by committee approach with their team ever since they lost their bell cow too, right? And, you know, Jerome Ford.
Ford and Hunter playing good ball.
Green Hunt.
That's what I'm saying.
There they are.
Yeah, Ford and Hunter playing good ball. That's what I'm saying. He'd be the third back there.
Yeah. So
I think for him it would be better if he went to Cleveland. I think the Dallas offensive line, their run blocking sucks. I mean, it does. I mean, they're decent in pass protection. But they're not a run blocking team. They're not creating any holes for any of these backs. I mean, you got a guy that's, you know, what's he say? He's at 214 yards this year and 3.2 yards a carry. Be lucky to get 2 yards a carry in Dallas.
That's wow. Most teams want the most offensive linemen want to fire off the ball and go knock somebody down. It's rare that you have a team that pass blocks better than they run block because you feel like they would want to run block and just go maul somebody. But you're not wrong. You know?
I mean, it's night and day, the difference.
Yeah, it's just not how it works, though. That's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Again, just looking at, like I said, whenever I was looking at the article, whenever you know, he was releasing, like, those are the teams that popped up. And like you said, there's some teams that are more for depth. You know, obviously, Christian McCaffrey had a little injury. He's going to be fine. He's going to be rested, too. But, again, that's just a situation where we're not looking for him to make. He doesn't have to come in and just, you know, have this immediate impact. Just come in and get a couple of plays in and have some opportunities to let the starting guy get a breather, too. But like you said, Cowboys, I just thought the position Cowboys were on there. And we talked about, you know, the Browns as well, too. But we'll come back to them as well.
You
but,
said we,
yeah,
like,
man,
you're a 49ers fan, don't you?
That's right, man. It's all about that, too, man. So we'll keep it going.
Don't get started.
That's right. Let's talk about because the NFC South, this is some bullshit, man, honestly. So we'll talk about that. the NFC
right
South,
now.
Which coaches will survive? And I know me and Rob had talked earlier regarding this, and we were talking about how every fan base wants to fire their coach, and we thought that was pretty funny because, you know, there's a couple of teams that, you know, come on, you don't want to get rid of Andy Reid. I mean, you may be mad at Andy Reid, but, you know, come on. to say
no.
that you want him fired, that's pretty ridiculous. And we were going to talk to you JQ, I think the Bengals fans are pretty happy with Zach Taylor because obviously you know what's happening with Joe Burrow's injury, but you know, and thank
no,
you,
not.
And they, no, you know, oh damn, even the,
I told you,
everybody wants their coach fired.
So Andre and I were talking
oh,
earlier, and I told Andre, I said, I guarantee you, the majority of 25 of the 32 teams, their fan bases want their head coaches fired.
Maybe more than that. I'm going over on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said, yeah, no, we don't. I said, don't get me started on Zach Taylor's play caller. I see the call plays for Joe Burrow, like he's calling for freaking Jay Brown, and Joe Burrow might still be playing. So
hilarious. Wow. We thought that.
I said, no fan base ever says that, oh, man, other teams got pros, too, and that's why we lost.
No. Nobody says that.
That's hilarious. I'm gonna talk to some Chiefs fans because you would think that those, like you know my brother-in-law he hates Mike Shanahan, he hates Kyle Shanahan with a passion, so that's funny to hear him. Like I'm like, do you not remember what happened when you had Mike Singletary do want to play with 10 players versus 11? I mean, you want to go back to those days and you're still upset about the situation?
Who's mad at Kyle Shanahan? Please let me have him or Andy Reid tomorrow.
What? I would take him back with a heartbeat. He's like,
I said that too.
The fourth quarter.
I take Kyle Shanahan in a heartbeat.
And him too.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Yeah. It's so we're gonna talk about the NFC South because that's kind of what's on the topic here. And which I like how you do this. Which coaches survived the worst division this season? maybe.
Well, we know one already got fired. Frank Wright.
Todd Bowles. He's almost probably going to. I am praying that Arthur Smith does not survive. But, you know, again, I'm hoping that Arthur Blank does the wise thing and lets him go. As much as you hate David Tepper, at least that dude be firing folks. So, yeah, you out, man. That dude be making some quick decisions.
And he comes towards Drew County on the way out. Sorry.
I know.
Right. So that's the one guy I think is going to survive. Rob, we were talking about Dennis Allen from your side. Do you think he's going to survive?
The fans want him fired, but the Saints are not going to fire Dennis Allen. You got to be 2-15 or 3-14 for the Saints to fire head coach. They're not going to fire Dennis Allen, and that's just the reality of you know what are we, and you know. You know, obviously, I spent a lot of time in Tampa, too. You know, this past week, you know, a lot of Tampa fans were texting me, oh, yeah, we're going to beat the Saints. And I said, well, Tampa's playing well. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if y'all beat the Saints. I mean, you've won 4 in a row, and then the Saints beat them. Oh, man, we need to fire Ty Bowles. There's no way we should have lost that game.
That's crazy. Todd Bowles just won with Baker Mayfield when what nobody won with Baker Mayfield. Todd Bowles now Arthur Smith and Dennis Allen should be in trouble because those are winnable divisions, and especially Arthur Smith. You have so much talent at the positions players,
please God,
and he just is shit in the bed for lack of a better term for what he has happening and his game plan. It's not just the quarterback; it's his game plan. It's awful. Arthur Smith should be gone. First and foremost, Dennis Allen. I mean, I guess you could talk it up to some of the injuries, but oh my goodness, they just look lost. I mean, I love Marshawn Lattimore; he's a bus guy. But my goodness, that defense is falling off a cliff without him. I'm like, bro, you can't let one dude playing cornerback change the whole outcome of how your defense is playing. It's wild, and
well,
I know it because I have a Chase defense in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah, and you know what, JQ. The Saints, actually, corner has not been the Saints' problem without Marshawn Lattimore. The corner has actually played pretty well. Cameron Jordan is 85 years old now. He's not getting easy. He's a quarterback. He needs to retire with the quickness. They've gotten
old. He can't sack Matt Ryan.
Right? Yeah, no. He can't sack anybody. He can't sack you. I think he's got 2 sacks this year, and it was like really early in the season. It's the age has caught up with them. It hasn't been the corners because Paulson and Debo is playing at the all-pro level. It's probably better than Marshawn Lattimore now, and Elante Taylor has been outstanding. So I think from a cornerback position, I think the Saints are in a position to get rid of Marshawn Lattimore or trade him because, you know, he's been hurt for the better part of 2 seasons. And So I'll trade him for a third round pick right now. The Saints got to get younger in a lot of positions, particularly on the defensive side of the football. They got to get younger, and they also got to get younger along that offensive line too. So, but when you look at the corners and you look at the wide receiver position, there's probably only two positions on the Saints roster where you feel like we got some good young talent. But they got to get younger than the rest of that roster. They got to do a makeover like what the Rams did, right? But it becomes the fifth youngest team in the league. And so that's what has to happen. Lattimore is actually, they haven't really, that area hasn't hurt them. They're not getting anything out of Cam Jordan anymore.
It must be a coincidence, but, yeah, because when he went down in, what's his name, the safety, when he got suspended initially, then I think he got hurt after that.
He's out now because he's hurt, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll pay way too much attention to the Saints. I'm sorry. I had him on my defense on a couple of leagues. So, that's what I was like. I know what's happening with the Saints defense. But, yeah, but when you're in a winnable division like that from a fan perspective, like, you know when you walk into it with the 49ers or the Eagles or even the Cowboys, like, if you're the Giants or the Commanders or Seattle or one of those teams, you know you probably really don't have a chance to win that division. You're like, can we get into one of the wild cards? Okay, cool. But in the NFC South, you had to walk into this year. Everybody outside of Carolina had to be like, we can win this division. This is a winnable division. So from your head coach's standpoint, when you go and you do those things, it puts you in behind, you know, the eight ball, puts you, you know, in the crosshairs, because this is a division that you could win with eight wins, nine wins. Like, bro.
Yeah.
I don't remember a time in the league where we've had so many shitty coaches like this. You know, I mean, there's the coaches are so shitty, head coaches are so shitty right now that they're making Mike McCarthy mediocre.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
That's how bad they are.
But to get back to the question, I agree. Ty Bowles is safe. I know the Bucs fans want to get rid of him, but I think Ty Bowles' job is safe because you really go back and look at the preseason publications. Tampa was actually picked dead last by a lot of people. A lot of people at Carolina even picked ahead of Tampa going into the season. If you go back and look at the preseason publication, they were picked dead last. So I think Bowles is going to keep his job, even though the fans want to get rid of him. And even though the Saints want Dennis Allen, Saints fans want Dennis Allen gone, the Saints have all national media publications already came out and said his job is safe, but the Saints may fire the offensive coordinator. So Dennis Allen will be back with the Saints. Ty Bowles will be back with the Bucs. I think Arthur Smith will get fired by the Falcons after the season. So I think he'll be the one that probably won't survive. And, of course, Carolina's already fired Frank Wright.
I would love for Atlanta to get Eric Bieniemy. I would love for Atlanta to get Eric Bieniemy. I know you don't want that to happen, Rob, but they have so much talent in the backfield and the wide receivers. Yeah, but I feel like he would look at that and say, oh, my God, I have so much time to work with. I can play these crazy games like he did in Kansas City and come with these formations, Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan. If you just get them semblance of a quarterback and somebody with an offensive mind that's not going to just run the ball, you know, off guard 20 times a game, like.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We need to hire him as our offensive coordinator in New Orleans. We need to bring him back home.
Atlanta needs to make that happen. To me, that's a match made in heaven with their skill position players and what he could potentially do with them if they would give him a chance. I don't know if they will, but to me, that makes the most sense.
I like that move. I also like Bobby Slowick because I'm a fan of the child Kyle Shanahan thing too, but he may be a little too young. That's the challenge with him too. But, you know, that's kind of the direction I kind of, you know.
Tommy Bay was hired at 33, 32?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm just a fan of that style of offense because, again, you do see somebody to take advantage of the offensive weapons like you have too, JQ. So, you know, I'm not mad at Eric. I thought about that too. That'd be a good look. I don't know what the hell he's doing wrong. He must be messing up the interviews. But, you know, give the brother a shot, man, because, again, I don't know what the hell happened. You know, I'll take a look what happened in Washington. And again, just to kind of wrap this up.
Shit, how happened?
That too. That was – he played pretty well at the beginning of the season, but, yeah, then he kind of just went, I don't know. That was a steep decline. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. But another reason that Arthur Smith has to go is that he turned us into Saints fans, that we had to root for the Saints to beat the Bucs. They beat the Bucs. and we still couldn't freaking beat the Chicago Bears. That is a travesty that we had to depend on the Saints. We had to become a Saints fan, damn it. Arthur Smith, you did that.
Hey, man,
I hate you,
you
forever,
know,
bro.
You know the boys were out there. They were playing all these goddamn domes and Carolina and Tampa. Had to go out there in that Chicago weather.
You knew going into it when it started snowing, they were in trouble. I was like, uh-oh.
I knew it was over.
And Chicago was playing well, man. They won like 4 out of 9.
Yes, they are.
Whenever Arthur Smith called a freaking flea flicker on the first play, I'm like, what the Sam Hill? We running a damn trick play on the first play of the game? What the bullshit? It's snowing. Run the damn ball. Tyler Algier had like 11 snaps in the game. What the hell? And then the one play they did, he gets a freaking 75-yard touchdown on a screen pass. What the hell, dude? I didn't play them all damn season. What's wrong with this, man?
Tired.
Freaking Kyle Pitts can't freaking get open. He don't want to throw. Tyler Hicks, what the hell was that bullshit? And he throws 3 interceptions. Ritterin, he throws an interception. I'm like, well, that's just about the size of it right there. What the hell? And then freaking Justin Fields is running circles around us throwing dimes, looking like he's like the second coming. I'm like, what the hell? You're looking at this like, well, this is exactly, yeah. You done effed up right there. That's the guy you should have had. And you got fucking Kyle Pitts over here. What's the shit? 2 targets, 0 yards. This dude's running circles around.
Justin Fields
is
starting to make the Bears' decision easy. He's playing well, man. If I'm the Bears, man, I try to get me Marvin Harrison and maybe draft an offensive lineman or an impact defensive player.
Universe.
Or you
they
can trade down
about
and let somebody else pick you.
They still talking about getting rid of him. They don't want to pay him that money.
I would
still
get Justin Fields, try to get him off in
the
Harrison Jr. Either get an offensive lineman or an impact defensive player, or you can even trade down and let somebody else come up and get Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't feel like they want to commit that kind of money to Justin Fields. I think they've already made that decision. What they want is they can play well to drive up his trade value.
That's it. Two second-round picks. Make it happen. Hey, good stuff, seriously. Let's do the top five, Gary. Let's talk about this. I got to say, you know, right now, the top five, the Baltimore Ravens are playing their ass off, man. You talk about just some whipping some ass. They knocked out the 49ers. They messed around and beat up on the Dolphins.
He's taking names, too.
I mean, Lamar Jackson is playing as, you know, you talk about this is a dangerous squad. Again, showing y'all assholes why we should have traded for Lamar Jackson. But I'm not gonna go back there again because y'all act like y'all couldn't have him pay him. But that's one of the conversations. Dude's a Michael Vick fan. Could have had him. Damn it. But I'm okay.
Y'all should have traded for him. The Saints should have drafted him. We drafted Marcus Davenport instead.
Oh, my God. That's one of the conversations.
That was collusion. He was never leaving Baltimore. That was never happening. That was collusion by the NFL owners. He was never leaving Baltimore. The NFL owners said, hey, we'll figure out. Yeah, he's staying there. We ain't giving him that watch of contract. That was never happening. That's just for us to have father about. That was never happening.
Fair enough. Second team, I've got the 49ers. The third, guys, the Cleveland Browns. Freaking Joe Flacco bringing shades of Vinny Testaverde, Bernie Kosar. What? Bringing back the old school playoff. That's the last time they hit the playoffs, right? Back in the day, look at the Cleveland.
Man, you just pissing JQ off, man. He just can't stop shaking his head. You got the Ravens and the Browns in the top 2 out of 3.
And then I got the Cowboys at number 4. And my 5th squad, this is pretty tough, man. As much as it pains me, I'm kind of still on the fence here, but I put the Browns in there because the Dolphins, you know, they're looking a little iffy. And
Browns
in it, you know.
I was going to say, man, you can't have the Browns twice.
Lions.
I'm going to say Lions. You definitely said the Browns.
My bad. I was looking at that, too. So I've got Ravens, 49ers, Browns, and Lions. So there we go. That's what I've got.
And I can't argue with any of it. I hate the fucking Ravens and the Browns are 2 of the top 5 teams, but I can't. You can't say that about it.
3.
Yeah, that's right. And you can't argue it. It's like,
no,
if you're trying to be objective, you can't argue it. Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Yep, I had the exact.
I can't. I would not put the Cowboys in there.
Who would you take out for the Cowboys?
Hell, I'll take the Bills who smashed the shit out of them. 49ers can smash the shit out of them. Cleveland can smash the shit out of them. Miami beat them. You know, yeah, I'd take any of those teams over the Cowboys.
It's hard to put Miami in there after they just got throttled, though. Like, they just got throttled.
Yeah, 56-19.
And they're injured.
Yeah. And it's
they banged up. Come on,
they've
man.
Lost, and Miami's lost some big games on the road this year, too. They're hurting. They've gotten throttled on the road. I know the Cowboys have to a little bit.
Lions should have beat the Cowboys this last weekend if it weren't for, you know, ignoring of a player coming in, being eligible.
The only team
you know.
I thought about putting in there were the Bills because they're starting to get hot at the right time. I thought about putting the Bills at 5, but I still put the Lions there. But, yeah, that Bills-Dolphins game is going to be very interesting on Sunday night for the division this weekend.
But the Ravens are really, right now, they're a class above. I thought it was going to be the 49ers at this point that was going to be the class above everybody. But right now, they're that hot team that is really looking powerful.
Who's
that can beat anybody.
Who's the squad? Who's the squad that you think is Anthony that can kind of I can compete against them, the biggest threat? Because right now I know, like, the only team I was looking at was the Browns because they split with the Browns, and that's obviously in their division, so that's going to be a tough matchup. I thought about the Chiefs, but the Chiefs, they don't know the way around damn, you know, they're looking like they're showing themselves. Them jokers can't even catch cold. And, you know, it's just the Bills, we don't know, they're so Jekyll and Hyde, right? So, again, it's just a situation where who's the squad that can actually compete with them? And they just throttled, like you said, Miami, so... Right now, it depends on matchups, I would say, as far as – but right now, like you said, Gary, Ravens are going to be a problem. They look like they'll be represented AFC in the Super Bowl right now.
I can't win for Luke.
Well, you know,
it's Cleveland. I think I do what they
ask. Yeah.
Cleveland, right? The Bills, if they can be on that right side of whatever they're doing, because they can look really bad and they can look really good if they, you know, if they can – play that top-notch game, they may be able to compete with them. And then again, Kansas City somehow, if Mahomes can somehow make his magic. I don't see that happening, but he's the one guy that can, you know, that can scare a team, can scare people out there with it, with his ability.
I figured Travis Kelce was been the Travis Kelce we thought he was, but like Rob said the last time we were on, he just looks like a shell of himself right now. And if he's not Travis Kelce, they don't have a shot. I would say Cleveland, and the way Buffalo is playing, and we can, you know, segue into the other piece of it, they have started to find an identity of running the ball and then let Josh Allen play action off of that and not have it be about keeping Stephon Diggs happy. It's about winning ball games and not about putting up big numbers and keeping Diggs happy so he won't throw a temper tantrum. And I don't think there's any – I think there's a correlation. I don't think there's anything you can say about it. And I'm not trying to force-feed him the ball and take what's given and run the ball and play off of that and then not put the defense in the hole trying to get him the ball and going three and outs or throwing interceptions. The Buffalo Bills are playing better football. So if Buffalo can go out there and they get a snowy game and they can run the ball, because what they have is what none of the other teams have. They have somebody who's not Lamar Jackson, but he's Lamar Jackson-like. And the fact that when the play breaks down, it's hard to sack him. He can move the chains with his legs. He can take two or three dudes with him because he's a big old boy. And that could be the one thing that can help break down the defense, is that when you think you got him and he gets out, and then that secondary breaks down in the scramble drill, now Diggs, the Gabe Davis, and those tight ends, and Kincaid and Knox, can maybe find some open spots in the zone when he's breaking them down, scrambling behind the line of scrimmage. No other team has that capability but Buffalo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, in 2022, Diggs had 1,429 yards and 11 TDs. Now they've got more of a running and a balanced attack, which is can really help him, especially this
Final.
Time of the year.
Right.
And he's still approaching 1,100 yards and 8 TDs, so he's still getting the ball.
Yeah.
But they have it, but by having that play action, by having that. Those sort of things in there, because people last year, they were just teeing off on him. They were just – they never worried about the run. It was a pass rush every single down.
Yep.
This year, teams can't do it.
The last four games, the Bills have been winning, but Diggs' numbers, 4 catches, 26 yards, 5 catches, 29 yards, 4 catches, 48 yards, 4 catches, 24 yards in the last four games. But they've been winning, right? JQ's point, he's been quiet, but they're running the football better.
Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid has been a nice rookie weapon at the tight end position for them this year. They're spreading the ball around a lot more this year, too. So, I mean, they're one of the teams, I think. Andre's been sleepy on camera, y'all. But they're one of the teams that
I'm looking at.
They're one of the teams that could be, you know, the Ravens are by far the best team. But if you're thinking about a team that can possibly upset the Ravens, you know, you got to look at either Buffalo or Cleveland, in my opinion. They're the two teams that can, that you would think about that could possibly upset the Baltimore Ravens, you know, if everything just breaks right for them on that particular given Sunday, right? They seem to be the two teams that's playing well outside of Baltimore in the AFC right now.
Imagine that. Another two cold weather cities that can run the ball and play decent defense.
Yep.
We were thinking that Diggs production was kind of falling because a lot of, you know, they were paying attention to a lot of coverages. He's been, like, doubled a lot, too. That's what opened up a lot of opportunities. But as we talked about, Gary, they have become more balanced. So that's the situation where we've been really confident to run the ball, right? Protect Josh Allen, and they finally started paying attention. They finally started running the ball. And right now, Diggs is actually, you know, he hasn't been talking a lot of shit. You know, he's been like, all right, you know, we're winning, you know, but. You know, his brother is like the one, like, yo, you know, what's wrong with Sean McDermott? You know, what's wrong with Josh Allen? Get him the damn ball. You know, so he's the one that's popping off. So, you know, that's pretty interesting from that perspective.
He's got too much time on his hands.
Correct.
About 18 minutes, true. We got about 18 minutes here. I do want to get into some college. So I'm going to kind of go through these topics pretty quickly. I'm going to talk about some college football, too, last night. Some recaps, some little revision that, too. But really quickly, I'm interested because do you guys think, I know what happened to Russell Wilson was pretty shitty too. I know I'm on fire right now, so I apologize for cussing. I'm in this mood here. But do you think that do you think that Russell Wilson is a possibility to go to Bill Belichick to the Patriots? Do you think is that kind of a situation, or is that kind of just off the table, you think? Or how would you – is that something you kind of think about on an outside choice? Because, you know, you'll still probably draft a quarterback, but do you think that's a situation where he may want to look at him and say, I can fix this guy?
I don't think so. You know, I think the Patriots are drafting so high in this year's draft. Right now, the season is today, they will be number three overall, which means, you know, they have a good chance of either getting Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, right? And I think Russell Wilson is going to want to go somewhere where he's a clear-cut starter, right? And the Patriots are going to draft a franchise quarterback or potential franchise quarterback between Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels. And I don't think Russell Wilson, even if the Patriots wanted him, will want to be a part of that, right? I think Russell will have a better chance of coming to a team like Atlanta, you know, somewhere. Atlanta may not be in a position in the draft to draft one of those guys, right? So I think he'll be going to a team that needs a quarterback that may not be in the position to draft one of those type of players, right? So I don't see him going to New England. I really don't. That's just, like I said, just my personal opinion. I don't see him going to a team like that. We don't know what's going to happen with Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. That could possibly be another option. You got to look at these teams that's going to be drafting somewhere between 10 and 20 or 10 to 25 that need a quarterback that can't get one of these franchise quarterbacks. That's what the teams I think Russell Wilson can wind up at.
Only I would say that because him and Bill Belichick will still be on the FU tour where they might want to team up. But one you didn't put in there that would be really interesting, but if Russell Wilson really wanted to be that dude, what if he went to the Raiders? So he got to play different twice a year. Like, they don't have a quarterback either, and I don't think they're going to be able to be in the position to get that. If they convince Devontae to stay and say, hey, we're going to go get Russ. And, you know, they got Buddy from New England. He had a good year for them, lightweight. I think they should let the tight end Mayer they got from Notre Dame play more often. Like, and then you also got Josh Jacobs and Zeus backing him up. Like, that would be the ultimate FU Denver move to go there and then go into Denver and tear their heart out. So I don't know how vindictive Russ is below the surface. Like, he seems like a real, like, calm and cool dude. But, man,
that would be the ideal place.
Well, playing the position the way he's played over his whole body of work, he's a competitor.
Yeah.
And what they ask him to do, you know, and he refused and all that, you know, that's the business side of things. But to go to the Raiders and be able to go and play them twice a year, and maybe it's only for a couple more years, but he would have those games circled on his own personal calendar.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my Super Bowl right here. If I only win two games this year, these are the games I'm winning. Come hell or high water.
I kind of hope he goes to the Raiders.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Fantastic theater.
That'd be a good one.
Well, you know, when you know, JQ, when Rob was talking and he was talking about Minnesota, I thought, ooh, that'd be interesting. But then when you talking about the Raiders, I'm like, wow, that would be must see TV there.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL would be sitting there like this.
Monday Night Football.
Both sides.
I hope. And the Raiders need to give Antonio Pierce that job.
Yeah, clearly, stop playing. Just go ahead and let him be. I read that story. Talking about Buddy Davis is still looking at other options. That's it. For what? These dudes have responded to this dude. They are playing competitive football. What else could he do to not give him that job? What else could he do?
Right.
And you got Aiden O'Connell throwing a damn football. He winning games with eight. He ain't completed a pass in the second half, and they still won.
Mac Jones threw eight passes. Remember that? He threw eight passes that one game. Like, what the hell just happened?
And they still won. Time you seen a dude play the whole game and not complete a pass in the second half and his team won? In this
NFL?
Mm-hmm. In the passing league? That tells me everything I need to know about how that team is playing for Pierce.
Just to kind of complete the circle, again, I think it goes back to whenever Mike Shanahan was hired by the Broncos. He was like, I'm going to give the Raiders. He always gave the Raiders he let them know every single game, y'all going to get what they asked for all the time. He was there. So if that happens, you talk about reversal of shit. If Russell Wilson goes, oh, man, 12 minutes here. I know Gary, if you want to talk about Leo Collins visiting with him, you can talk about that. We'll just spend a shout-out. But then I really want to be brief with that because I want to talk about some college football predictions and kind of recapping the college football last night too as well. We'll just spend a shout-out as we wrap up too. So go ahead.
Well, I thought we had pawned them off on JQ's team, but apparently not. You know, he's good for – you know, he's really good for a couple of false starts a game, you know, when you really don't want him to. But the Cowboys are so desperate for offensive line help, you know, they're bringing him in for a physical, and if he passes his physical along with, Damian Wilson, that they'll give him, you know, they'll put him on the practice squad and see what happens.
That's done, I think.
Obviously, they need help. So he's been with the organization before, so there's some, you know,
Don't have to do a lot. He knows the playbook, Gary.
Yeah.
Back to false start.
Dude, he's not trustworthy out there.
Shit.
Lord have mercy.
Gone. And now I'm reading that they're putting him on the practice squad, and heaven help if they need him, you know.
Wow.
Let big ass play guard.
Point in his career.
I think
he should be.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Hey, to quote Kelly Clarkson, since you've been gone, damn, you know, so he's coming back, so it's all good.
Wow.
So.
Wow, not Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson!
He is the LSU Tiger.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to come back some way, somehow. Rob's going to put that in there for always. You know, again, as much as I would love for, in a small, way of revenge, I'd love for the Falcons to get Jaden Daniels just kind of, shove it up, you know, Rob's, you know. But that would be even awesomer, man, to have him root for him. But I'm totally joking, man. I'm totally joking. I'm totally messing with you, Rob. Like, he had to take his hat off. He's like, oh, damn.
You said, damn.
I might literally cry if that happens.
That's not going to happen. You should be good. I don't know. We'll see. Hey, so college football predictions, we know where JQ is going for this, you know, because, again, you've got Michigan at Washington. We know, shadow of a doubt, that JQ is going to go all in on Michigan. We know this for a fact. That's how much JQ loves
Michigan.
He's
going to pick the Big Ten, right? Well, both of these teams are going to be Big Ten, right?
No, they're all right. Let's go, Michael Kane Jr. Tampa, stand up. I root for Tampa Tech.
Tampa Tech.
Well, technically Washington is Big Ten too now, right?
Yeah, he went to Tampa Tech.
I know
about Michael Pittman Jr. He went to Indiana first. He's from Tampa. He went to Tampa Tech. I'm rooting for that dude. He said, free my
man.
I said, let's go, Michael.
He was in Indiana too. And then he ran a lot, got hurt. He decided, I'm going to become a pocket passer. What a great game he had too, Robin. Now, again, you know, they had some good play calls.
I'm looking.
He was having an epic night, man. You talk about just lasers and just controlling the game. I mean, you know.
Laying that ball in there big time.
Oh,
he
God, yeah.
He got a bucket, man.
He was on fire. We talked about.
And he's got three great
downs
to shoot, too.
Yep. And JQ talked about Steve Sarkisian didn't drink. He didn't drink that night because that's why Texas played that bad, man. It was just they didn't know how to stop that, man. That was just terrible. Some of the play calls, like, come on, man. You're making, like, some crazy – like, bro, you need to go back to drinking, man, because right now Texas is out. Yeah. I got that. And Quint Ewers is coming back. So that's some consolation, if you will. But, you know, Michael Penix played amazing. Go ahead. I'm going to talk about it real quickly, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sets up a very interesting national championship game, right? When you look at Michigan, man, they're coming in with a physical mindset, a physical mentality. And, you know, will Washington be able to compete with them in the trenches? And then but the next
That's
question
the
is, will Michigan be able to compete with the speed on the
wide receivers?
On the wide receivers that Washington had, too. So I think it's two different styles. It's going to be a compelling football game. I think it's going to be a close football game, too. And Washington has some really good defensive players that have been very underrated. Now you're going to see when this draft comes out this year, Jabbar Muhammad, Braylon Trice. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got some players that's going to go in these first couple of rounds in this draft on the defensive side of the ball and on the offensive side of the football. And, you know, so it's going to be a very – I'm pulling for Washington. And but, I won't be surprised if Michigan wins the game, but I'm definitely pulling for Washington to win the football game. You know, you got two NFL quarterbacks that both could be in the first round, so it's definitely a compelling football game from a fan perspective and from an NFL scout perspective, too.
If somebody drafts J.J. Vance in the first round, they're tripping. Now, Michael Pittman Jr. might sneak into it, what he has happening. He could have won the Heisman, but that game, and if he has another one against Michigan, you touched on it. Can they match Michigan's physicality at the line of scrimmage, especially because they're going to just run the ball. They ain't going to make no bones about it. We're here to run the ball with you all day long. And because J.J. McCarthy and them, the one thing that Washington is not great at is pass defense, but the one thing that Michigan doesn't really do all that well is pass the ball. So they don't really have the scheme to go out and take advantage of Washington's terrible pass defense, and that's a plus for Washington. But, yeah, they got to come to play against that run because you can't pass the ball if you can't get on the field. If you let Michigan go up there and have the ball for 8-10 plays and run 7-8 minutes on the clock and you can't get on the field to throw the ball around, then you eliminate that piece of it. So, of course, you know 100% I might go buy me some Washington gear, some absolute nonsense, beat that or some shit like that. But I'm definitely rooting for Washington and hoping they beat Michigan. I do not need Georgia and freaking Michigan to have back-to-back titles living here with these damn – I don't need it. I need Washington to have the game of their goddamn life.
Well, I think Washington will beat him, and I think it's because of their quarterback and his ability, not necessarily to take off running because he's not running anymore. He took off and he ran had a 12-yard run or something in this last game, but his ability to just buy time and move around in the pocket and then still hit those passes the way he has.
Yeah.
He did it against Oregon twice. He did it this last game. And he's going to do it against Michigan, too. And he's going to move up that draft board because of
it. I thought his mechanics last night was a lot better than it was in the Pac-12 championship game against Oregon, too. And that game, and I'm sure that's something the coaches addressed with him. When you looked at that Pac-12 championship game against Oregon, he had a lot of throws that he was throwing off his back foot. And, you know, some of them you're still able to complete, but, you know, that's not going to fly when you get to the NFL, right? And
right.
But last night I thought his mechanics was a lot better than what we saw in that Pac-12, and I'm sure the NFL scouts took notice of that too, because, you know, watching that Pac-12 championship game, you know, the most you can say on Michael Penix that it would be a second-round pick. I think you might, if he plays another game like he did last night with his mechanics intact, I think he'll be back in that first-round conversation again with scouts because, like I said, they were able to beat Oregon, but I don't think he was perfect in that Oregon game, which probably cost him the Heisman. And but last night, I think he proved what he's capable of, and if he does that against Michigan, I think he's definitely back in that first-round conversation.
I think somebody moves up, like you saw with Lamar and them, that somebody moves up into the back end of that first round again so they don't have to deal with those teams that didn't maybe have a chance of getting in the top for the first round in the second they go ahead and try to jump ahead of them. I really do. I think he might have already done it with that game against Texas because he threw some absolute dimes in that game.
Oh, yeah.
He was a front runner all year. So
great.
As long as he don't shoot the bed against Michigan, you know what I'm saying? I think he, me personally, he solidified that first round status. We talk about it every year. Quarterbacks always officially rise. And then you see that happen, and then those teams that miss out on those streets that you talked about earlier, Rob. Oh, I got to get you one. Who's the best one? Him. I saw him just perform. Jump back up and come get him.
There's a lot of quarterback needy teams in the NFL. There's a lot of
quarterbacks.
So you know, Nick Saban, he defended his call to that last play. He defended that last play. What a shitty play. That was one of the worst plays I've seen him make. You know, here he's a champion, and to not have anything better dialed up. Now, I understand it was a slightly low snap and all that, but it wasn't ridiculously low or anything. He just had to, go down and get it.
I think, Hold that thought, guys. We're getting ready to go to the OT. Naj just called in. So we're going to have to spend a little extra time if that's okay. Naj, what's going to happen to you, my guy? You okay?
Hey, Happy New Year. What's up, y'all? What up?
What's
happy
up, bro?
New Year, my
happy
guy.
New Year, man.
Yeah, hey, Happy New Year to you, Naj.
You caught us on the end right there. We got 35 seconds before we have the OT. We'll spend a little time, and we'll get your thoughts, man, because we miss you, man. I know. I can't wait to hear your thoughts about your boy Heineke time, man. That's a whole other conversation, my guy. But anyway – Let's talk about the shitty call that Nick Saban made. And, again, I just want to say my last point about Michigan and Washington. If you're Michigan, you play keep away. You don't let Michael Penix Jr. get on the field, man. That's how you kind of get him. You basically play keep away, make him make a bad decision. But, anyway, that's my thing. Rob, set up for the OT real quick, my guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this ends our live portion of the show. Next week, we're going to be right back at you. We're going to be back on our normal night of Wednesday night, people. Wednesday night, Baltimore. We want to hear from you all about your Ravens. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. JQ want to hear from the Ravens fans, of course. So make sure
the fuck I don't.
We hear from y'all. 11 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night.
Cleveland fans, call in. JQ want to hear about you, too. Michigan fans, JQ want to hear about you, too.
Shit. Y'all just let me know. Sorry. Let that man go.
Chicago is going to be 10 p.m. Central. You go with Justin Fields, or do you pick Caleb Williams? We want to hear from y'all, Chicago. Mountain West. We want to hear from you guys. Salt Lake, Denver. Denver Nuggets. Are y'all going to repeat? It's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And Los Angeles, we want to hear from y'all, too, because the Lakers won this tournament like they won a championship, and they've been playing like diddly-poo since then. So we want to hear from y'all, Los Angeles, at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
And I can't stand the 49ers.
Stay tuned.
Listen, yeah. Y'all want me just to hang up because y'all just sitting shots at me talking about the Lakers and the damn Ravens and the Browns fans. If any of y'all call in with that bullshit, I'm hanging up.
That's all you got, JQ?
Gotta be a team player, JQ.
That's all you got.
No, I don't have to be a team player. I will hang up.
And I hate the Lakers.
There ain't no I in team. There isn't me.
There's no I in team. There isn't me. Go Chargers.
There's
come
me.
Come on, JQ. Come on, bro.
Come on. Come on, brother. Come on.
Hey, listen.
Habitual line steppers.
Virtual
over
hug here.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man. What's up, Naj? How are you, my guy?
I'm all right. This naysayer, JQ, is out of control. He's going to have to take some of the heat.
We got to bring in 2024 spicy, guys. You got to bring in spicy.
Got to bring the spicy. But, hey, look, just speaking back to what y'all was just talking about, yeah, you Chicago, you got to do what Houston did, man. You wait for a dummy to call you. You trade down. You snatch as many assets as you can. And you build around what you already have, man. There's no reason to draft another quarterback.
I agree with that.
It feels as good.
Shut up, Nas. Bye, Nas.
I agree.
We're trying to get him in the lineup. My bad. I'm messing with you.
I would draft Marvin Harrison.
That makes sense. To Atlanta.
I would draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and give Justin Fields another weapon to go with DJ Moore.
That's true.
And then come right back and get you an offensive tackle, or offensive lineman, or an impact defensive player. But Marvin Harrison, you got to take him. And then you come back, like I said, with either an offensive lineman or an impact defensive player, and you build around Fields. They won four out of their last five. He's progressing. You got something brewing there. I agree. And you can possibly trade down and still get Harrison and another impact player and get more picks to build around that franchise. I think that's the way to go from the GM of the Bears.
Rob, why are you making so much sense? Stop it, man. Stop giving them ideas. Stupid thing. Trade Justin Fields. Come on, man. Get your 2 second-round picks from us. Get Caleb Williams. Restart. He's immature. He doesn't know what he's doing. Popping off at the offensive staff. He's not ready. Justin Fields, come to Atlanta. Thank you very much.
Hey, you can say the same about Caleb Williams.
I'm with it.
So if you're the Bears, I was going with the one you already got in the building.
You don't want to pay Justin Fields that money? Come on, man. You don't want to – come on. This year, come on.
And to that Phoenix thing, as far as Washington, that that Pac-12 championship game, he was banged up. He looked a little less than himself. The mechanics, definitely. But more than anything, I think he was just a little beat up, man. And that time to rest and heal, that set him up perfectly for this bowl game, man. He looked like he did all season. He was perfect. But that dude is 23 years old, and he's had surgeries on both knees. So I'm seeing
that's
second,
another thing
man,
that's
second
a concern
round.
For
I think
the Scouts.
Somebody's gonna pull the trigger.
Yeah.
That is a concern for
Bo
the Scouts,
Bo Nix played well too, man. That dude, like, he's pretty old too, man. So shout out to him, man.
Have you seen that meme? It's like five of them. It's Nix, it's Penix. Oh my goodness, who are the other three? Like, all of these dudes are like 23 years old. Jane Daniels did one of them. It was two other ones. I was like, damn, these are quarterbacks old as hell. Boy, they've been in college 25 years. It's wild.
Correct. Yeah, they're old.
Slow
learners.
Cars to drive
all three
to
of those guys are 23. Bo Nix, Jane Daniels, and Michael Penix.
Yeah, they're old, but they played well. I want to talk about, again, it's crazy how we've had some situations. If you want to talk about that call, we can, guys. Rob, I know we got his fantasy shout-outs and whatnot, too. And, we don't have to stay too long on this, too, because, again, it's officially January the 3rd, so I'm excited about this day. But it's all good. So you can
Happy birthday, Jay. Happy birthday.
29th.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, just keep rolling it back every year, baby. That's how you do it. And shout out to all the fantasy football people who drafted Justin Jefferson, Austin Eckler, Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow. Shout out to all of y'all.
Yeah, I drafted all the
terrible.
Shout out to me.
Is that your roster? Is that your roster, Rob?
That's his roster right
there. I had a few of them.
I was robbed. Bruh, Naj, I was robbed, man. They promised Bijan Robinson was going to be the offensive player of the year, man. But you leave it to Arthur Smith to run him into the ground, man. Not use him at all, man. That was disgusting, to say the least, man. So, again, that's another reason why he's got to be fired, because that dude does not know how to manage talent. Hey, Rob, do you want to do the fantasy shout-outs really quickly, sir?
Fantasy shout-outs. Let's get the notes here. We just wrapped up fantasy football season. League number one. Will in Madison, Wisconsin, had the biggest win of the week. Beat JQ's team in the championship game, 150.48 to 119. So Will in Madison, we're about to hear his name a lot. He won league number one of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. League number two, the biggest win of the week was Paul here in Atlanta, Bears Nation, 185.98, or Fleur de Lis, 115.90. JQ, the champion in league number two, Ohio Players, 148.20, beat Andre's team, playoffs, 105.28. And league
damn
number three.
Tyler Eisier, bullshit.
League number three.
15 points.
Sean, also known as Scary Daddy, had the biggest win of the week, Nola for Life, 133.06 over Paul's sensational team, 65.40. Matthew in Indianapolis, his team was a champion.
65 points.
Yeah, 65.40.
Oh, man.
he probably gave up at that point.
Yeah, he just quit. Damn.
Matthew in Indianapolis, his team, Lattimore Lockdowns, won a championship over the Kings team. In league number four, the biggest winner of the week is Chris in Orlando, 162.56 over Baby Got Backfield, 116.80. I lost the championship game in this league. Will, again, from Madison, Wisconsin, beat me in the championship game, 135.92 to 128.76. So he won two of our four leagues. Will, shout out to Will. In Madison, and also he had the biggest win in our fantasy basketball league. I'm so hardened. 72.
Oh, you can't tell Will.
Mad house on Matt.
Oh, yeah, goddamn.
Kick his ass out. Kick his ass out of the league. That's funny.
What? But somebody's still in first place in the basketball fantasy league, though.
Yeah, JQ's still in first place in 63-27 for fantasy basketball.
So you got no Lakers on your team?
I got Anthony Davis, goddammit, now.
Habitual long stepper. Hey, man, I'll take second, even though I lost to JQ. I'm happy, man. I had a light scramble. I had effing Jake Browning as my quarterback. I don't know how that played out, because the dominance, the shit that was Geno Smith didn't do nothing for me. But, again, I was like, living on a dream, like, I was surviving on that one, man. I was winning. I was like, yeah. It was good stuff, man. And Tyler Algier had to have a touchdown, and I didn't play him. That just screwed me, man.
Yeah. He got me. I would have won two of the four, but I lost one. So, yeah, I'll take one.
Oh, my God. That's some bullshit. But that was fun. I'll take second. I'm happy to too. That the way of my roster, woo, that was good stuff. But, no, like I said, really quickly, if you want to talk about Saban or talk about the ass-kicking that was, you know, Georgia put on Florida State, they are getting your boy DJ Uiagalelei, whatever, from Oklahoma.
Uiagalelei?
That dude is like 30 years old, man. I'm making up names, sir. We know.
Wow.
He came from
you murdered that.
Coming back to the ACC. I didn't murder that on purpose. On purpose. Jordan Travis is not obviously he's out of eligibility, so Florida State, you know, they're going to try to make a little comeback here and try to, you know, again. But, you know, right now it's been interesting to see what's happening with them, too. So that's interesting. But I know I was talking shit about Florida State. But, that was a complete ass whooping, man, you know, that they took. And, like I said, still at the end of the day, they still should be focused on not trying to leave the ACC and just focus on becoming the best in their division, which, you know, so that's Andre's two cents on that, so. There you go.
Oh, they're leaving the ACC. That's happening. You might as well wrap your head around that.
Man, they went undefeated and didn't make it to a playoff game, man. They're trying to get out of the ACC.
It's over. It's over.
Now, It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. But they will
be leaving. They're definitely out. They're definitely out. I know that.
But once they leave, you're going to see three or four others leave, too. So,
it's over for the ACC. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, they still have a conference.
Nick Saban is Satan.
Nick
Saban is Satan. That's one of the worst Alabama teams during his tenure, and he got them that far. That's how good that dude is. Last play call was bad. He's not the OC. He covered for him in the presser. But supposedly, there was an option to pass there, but it didn't work out because of the bad snap and everything. But Georgia's the best team in the country, and Georgia will be favored against anybody that's still standing. You couldn't tell me otherwise from watching these teams. But, yeah, man, they deserve to lose. Shout out to Harbaugh playing hard-nosed football. He got them there. And good luck scoring 17 points to beat Washington in the championship game. Good luck with that.
No,
you picking Michigan, Naj?
Don't sound like it.
No, I don't think Michigan can score enough, man. I think Washington beats them. I just don't think Michigan can score.
Okay, gotcha.
I think they're gonna take one whole playbook and go cut it, bro.
Yeah, no, you just can't run Bo Jackson all up into the top of the screen and go make a hard left turn.
take Bo over here.
So the thing about it, I mean, you know, if you take Bo to the top and make that left turn, he gone. I think what's being missed in that Alabama one is that I think Milroe panicked. I don't think it was necessarily the play call. I think what happened when that ball got snapped low, he grabbed the ball and he just panicked and he ran right up the middle. I think he didn't even think about anything else. He didn't. So I'm not going to necessarily, when I look back at it, necessarily put it on the play call if Milroe doesn't panic in that moment. If he tries to do something with it to go outside where it was supposed to go to use the RPO option and it doesn't work, then we can talk about it. But when that ball got snapped low, he 100% panicked. You could tell by his reaction when they lost that he knew he panicked and he had fucked it up. So I'm not going to kill Saban in the OC for the call. You know, it's a bad snap, but Milroe's got there. And if you look at that game, he just has some bonehead decisions. Like, he doesn't read the whole field. He comes back, they overload his blind side with a blitz, and he don't even look at the dudes. And he gets hit in the back and gets sacked. I'm like, man, what are you doing? You got to at least look over that way and check them off or put somebody over there to protect your blind side. You're just going to turn your back to him and hope and pray? What the hell kind of plan is that? So, like, he did some stuff in that game from a quarterback standpoint that he's not a pocket passer, and it took them too long into the second half. And I will give them you that. They took them too long to figure out that they need to do more running with Milroe. Hey, drop back, spread the field, give him running lanes. And if that first read ain't there, let him take off. They tried to make him something he wasn't in that first half. Now, to me, that's the only reason why that game was close. If they had the plan from the get-go up, we got Jalen Milroe. He is not a pocket passer. He is a runner who can sometimes throw the ball and come out with that kind of game plan. I think that game goes a little different.
Yeah, and JQ took the words right out of my mouth. I didn't have a problem with the play call either. When you watch Alabama all season, their most effective play offensively was Jalen Milroe running, right? I watched a lot of Alabama football, unfortunately, this year, and that has been their most effective offense. He's not there from a passing standpoint there. He's actually got a long way to go. You know, he throws the deep ball very well. Obviously, you can't throw a deep ball from the four-yard line, right? But his intermediate short passing game is not there yet. It's not. His intermediate short game and the timing and rhythm is not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm with you 100. Georgia showed him too much respect. They had two guys spying him instead of treating him like a guy who can't get the ball down the field and forcing him to run. Like, Georgia really blew that game, man. I still can't get over that. But y'all got Milroe assist perfectly. That is not a QB prospect that's on a trajectory to be a first round guy.
No, he's
gonna be playing tight end like Taysom Hill.
Yep. There you go. Direct snap from the NFL. But you know, he's only a sophomore. I think he's a redshirt sophomore, so he'll be back next year. You know, we'll see. You know how he feels for passes. You know, standpoint. I would rather root for him at another time,
you need him to stay right in Alabama because they have a ceiling for him at quarterback.
Yes.
You should root for him to be right there doing that same dumb shit. You should 100% embrace that.
Yeah, but once again, I didn't have necessarily a problem with the play call because, like I said, all year that has been their most effective offense. It's Jalen Miro running the football. That's what's been scaring teams. The offensive line has blocked it pretty well. Defense obviously was a bad snap, and also Michigan matched the physicality in line of scrimmage against Alabama. They were able to stop the play too. So you got to.
Well, there was a guy in the backfield already. Looks up, he sees the guy.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. He's got improvement.
Trickle down his leg.
Timing passing game.
Oh my god! But again, let's not cry for Alabama, because I guarantee you, Nick Saban is doing an electric slide in some black family's home right now. Nick Saban ain't playing. He's coming back with more guys.
100%.
I believe it. And they still have one of the top two or three recruit classes in the country this year. And Nick Saban's 71 years old.
Yeah.
He's still doing it, man.
Maybe I should talk to him about retiring, huh? Hey, the chandelier.
Damn it. You stupid.
That's funny. All right, gentlemen. Like I said, it's been a it's good to. I'm glad, Naj. I was literally gonna text you, man, and tell you Happy New Year, man. So I'm glad you had a chance to call in, man. Yeah, we haven't had a chance to catch up, man. So I'm glad everything is good. I know we were going Heineke time pretty hard in the paint, man, but that is now over, man. So we're in a whole new different phase, man. So from our earlier text, it's crazy to see how far we've come.
Who started this weekend for the Falcons? Is Riddle or Heineke?
Nobody effing knows, man. Could be Logan Woodside for all we know, man. I don't know what the hell, man. Doesn't even matter.
You are.
we got seeing the best version of Heineke, though. He should have been given that job day one and allowed to kind of grow that team. He could have been the game manager, the difference maker to make that team at least somewhat good. Now we're just ruining draft picks for no reason. So, yeah.
Welcome to my life, Jake Browning. Yeah, ruining draft picks for no reason. I said that a month ago. I here trying to win games for no goddamn reason.
Seriously. Look, seriously,
Hold on. Go to Wikipedia tonight and look up Arthur Smith's daddy. I know everybody says, oh, his dad's a billionaire. You know, he's one of the people who started FedEx.
That's just the beginning.
I need y'all to pull up Arthur Smith's daddy's Wikipedia. This dude led a life. It's poisonings in there, people disappearing, all kinds of stuff. Like, dude, look it up, man. So, yeah, we got to get that dude out of here, man. I don't know what type of finagling Illuminati stuff he got going on as the coach in the Falcons, but he got to go.
Wow.
Every team wants their coach fired.
That's funny. I was just gonna say that. Just on that note, Naj,
every fan base
has a different fan base. Naj, I was gonna say that. I'm sure Arthur Smith is probably thinking that having it was a soft schedule. We had it. I'm not saying that everything is gonna be easy ride, but we definitely had a softer schedule this year. So he's probably thinking, hey, I can get away with this. Yeah. But yeah, even that was just a colossal failure for sure, man. So. Again,
anytime somebody galaxy brains to the point where they say, I got three top 10 picks and I'm going to use them as decoys. See, I'm outsmart everybody. Man, get that dude the hell up out of here. Get this Mensa member, smartest man in the room, always got a trick up his sleeve. Man, get choked. He is the worst magician in the world. Everybody looking at him, dude, I can see your hands. You're not fooling nobody. Man, what are you doing? Man, get that dude out of here, man.
Myself, man. Yeah, this is downright disgusting, man, to see what's happening, man. So, again, if Arthur Smith –
I think the Falcons are going to fire him after this week. I do.
I hope so, man. If he stays, I'm done. I am done. I will kill you that.
Lying
on the way. Done.
He's going to lie.
Hey, we ain't the only people that need a good firing around here, though. There's some people in Louisiana that they've been talking some, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it earlier in the show, Nas. I know everybody in Louisiana wants Dennis Allen gone, but unfortunately, I don't think the Saints only fire head coaches if the coach goes 3-14, man. if you close to 500, they're going to keep you, so. I think y'all in better situations. All the blame is on fire on Smith. Saints not going to fire Dennis Allen. Unless it was
Jerry
in his contract.
Loves Mike McCarthy, though. Jerry loves Mike McCarthy, though. So we're good. So just FYI, he loves him. Right, Gary?
Oh, my God. Gary, did you like Mike McCarthy going for it on fourth down and being risky all season? I can't wait for that dude to play close to the vest, conservative in the playoffs and punt and three. Not the dude. That man is not to be trusted.
Well, what I said earlier, Naj, is there are so many lousy head coaches in the NFL that they've actually made Mike McCarthy mediocre. So
yeah,
that's a fact.
I mean that really is
true.
But that's about as good as he's going to get. Is mediocre.
And a part of
maybe
this,
he'll go to the Saints next.
Part of this is me being petty because Tony Pollard gets tackled on the 1 yard line a million times this season, cost me a lot of money. Man, that Tony Pollard dude, he's dead to me. Never again.
Him and DeAndre Swift should start a support group because I've never seen two dudes get tackled on the 1 yard line more often than those two.
Who was that? Was that Leroy Moore?
We're their offensive line. We could do a good a job right here. We're the offensive lineman right here.
Was that Leroy Hoare that said, if you want 3 yards, I'm going to give you 3 yards. If you want 5 yards, I'm going to give you 3 yards. Is that him that played for the Vikings?
That was Leroy Hoare made
it comment. Yes, sir. You need 3 yards, I'm going to give you 3 yards. You need 5 yards, I'm going to give you 3 yards.
Yeah.
He knew his game.
I'd be tickled to death with 3 yards.
Learn this show by an athlete in his most
that's Jamal Williams all over again, man, for the Saints, man. I see the same.
Yes, sir.
He's only going to get you 3 yards.
I'm going to give you 2 yards. You want 10 yards? I'm going to give you 3 yards. You want 5 yards? I'm going to give you 3 yards. You want 7 yards? I'm going to give you 3 yards. Oh, man.
Don't ask for more.
Frank Gore's still out there, too, by the way.
I know Gary is enjoying the long funeral for Bill Belichick this year, though. Gary, you should be ashamed of yourself for enjoying that man's downfall.
Oh, I'm loving it. I am loving that mediocre coach. And his miserable downfall. No Brady, no wins. Love it.
You ain't the only one.
Let him get whatever quarterback he wants. It's not going to be a Brady. He's not going to end up being in New England anyway, unless he's coming there for a visit.
That's funny.
It's about that time, man. It's about that time. I want to see the group chat between him and Nick Saban this year when he finally called Saban about Mac Jones. You told me this boy could play.
I'd love to be on that call.
Oh, bro, that conversation's already been had. That's already happened.
Yeah, I know, right? Second practice.
Oh, no, when you put Bailey Zappi in for him, that conversation has been had, bro. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Bailey Zappi is terrible. But, yo, fans, we got to talk about – I know y'all got to run, but let me just get this in. The delusion in football fans is like no other sport. We see Josh Dobbs have two good games. People said, Josh Dobbs is good. I said, what? We see Tommy Spaghetti have two games. People said, Tommy Spaghetti. I said, what? Jacob Brown have two good games. And people said he's – dog, do you understand how desperate football fans are just for competent quarterback play to where they'll tell themselves things like this? Like, bro.
Oh, it's mad.
Joshua Dow beat the Saints, man. Saints fans were like, man, we let a dude with no eyebrows beat him.
That dude's got alopecia, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. You got alopecia, man. Come on, man. You got it,
right?
Say it.
Come on, man. Hey, that's good.
Man.
Hell
I'm not knocking these dudes as pros. They're going to hold a clipboard, and they're going to cash checks for the next 5 to 10 years. Salute to
them.
Oh,
my God.
But the fact that people talk themselves into them being starters, bro, like, come on, bro.
Man, I'm not doing this with y'all. I'm going to bed. That is the perfect way to end it, man. We like doing no eyebrows, Peter. Shut up. I'm out. I got to go to work in the morning.
I got to get up in the morning, you guys.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.
Good night. Peace, y'all.